Let us pray. God of grace, your Spirit is here. Your Spirit is in us. And Lord, may your Spirit be known and experienced by all of us gathered here and those who are worshiping via live streaming and recording. Touch us. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Today, our scripture is three verses. The first is John 14:6, and the other two are John 8:31 and 32. Hear now the word of God from John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then John 8:31 through 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, this is week three of our series of sermons, That Song Will Preach. We began the first week with talking to Jesus about prayer. What is more than about just prayer? It's talking about spiritual disciplines, means of grace, ways in which not only we talk to Jesus, but there is the implication that we need to listen to Jesus. Amen? We need to listen. It is also about hearing the word of God, from studying the word and meditating on the word, worshiping in community, worshiping in private, praying in private, communal prayers. It's about holding yourself accountable, allowing people to hold you accountable, and them giving you permission to hold them accountable. It's about growing in grace. And the more we allow ourselves to listen to Jesus and talk to Jesus, the more we will be like Jesus. That's a fact. Last week, the song was Worship What We Hate, and we all get there sometime. By decision and indecision, we get to a place where we slip, slide away, and we wake up and we understand and see that the things that we spend the most time doing are the things we actually hate. We've all been there, if we will admit it. And last week, that song and the song today, they intertwine a little bit, and all of them are leaning on talking to Jesus. So today, the truth be told. Rarely the truth is told. Our scriptures also speak and are very powerful. Many, many years ago, as I began and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, not at 8 when I didn't have one of those experiences at 8 years old. I never was not in the church except when I was in the far country of college. I was there, but somewhere along the way, the reality of who Jesus was in my life became real. And I was reading my Bible and I was praying. For much of my life to that point, I tried a lot of ways to feel fulfilled, to be fulfilled, to grasp all that God wanted for me. I wanted everything that everybody else had that I didn't have. And then I realized that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Because in the truth of him, me understanding him as the truth, I was able to experience life like I've never been able to experience up to that time. And then as I continued in my journey, in my walk with the Lord, trying to have everything that everybody else had that I didn't have, the new house, all the things that go with that, the right car, and all the things. And you find out the car is not the answer, especially if it's a Volvo. You might think you want a Volvo 242, but it's not the car that's going to deliver you from anything other than a lot of high bills. I don't talk about Volvos, but that just came, Spirit gave it to me. And then one day, I realized that I really didn't have to do the things that other people did because it really wasn't what I had to do. I realized that the people I was trying to be, I really didn't like that much. And so I was set free from the things that bound me to wanting more. Now, it is a difficult thing, and there are times in my life I wander. Do you ever wander? Do you ever just drift away a little bit? But I found out Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. In 1992, there was a movie that came out that it was a scene in that movie that is the, it is the scene that if you saw the movie, you will still remember it. The movie was A Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise, Demi Moore. Do I have a head shaking? There is a scene in that movie where Tom Cruise, who is playing the part of Lieutenant Caffey, who is an attorney who's cross-examining Jack Nicholson, who is playing the part of Colonel Jessup. Someone got killed at Guantanamo Bay under Colonel Jessup's watch. They're coming after Colonel Jessup. It's a delicate place to be when you're trying to cross-examine a full-bird colonel in the Marine Corps. Just, there's a gravity to that situation. There's some shaking when he grabs some water to drink, when he gets ready to start what he's doing. And he's asking questions, and Tom Cruise asked a question, and he said, Colonel Jessup said, "You want the answer? I think I'm entitled to it. You want the answer?" And Tom Cruise says, "I want the truth." And Colonel Jessup says, "You can't handle the truth." Y'all remember that, don't you? You can see the veins popping out on Colonel Jessup's face. He's fit to be tied. "And I will tell you the truth." That's what Satan has been telling us for years. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. You say you're fine. Yeah, you're fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. But I'm not. I'm broken. And Satan's saying, you can't tell the truth. Because if you tell the truth, people are going to think less of you. We get there in that spot, and so we cower away from the truth of our life because we're afraid to tell somebody. We're afraid to embrace it. Even though we know by Scripture that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're all broken. Except the people we look at who we think are perfect. Amen? Those people we hold up, we see them on Facebook and everything's perfect. Even the pictures, when it's raining, they're perfect. Every Christmas, we get the perfect family letter from them as if nothing has happened bad in their family. Even the commode hadn't sopped up all year. Nothing has, the wife hadn't burnt a supper. Nothing has gone wrong with this family. And we're comparing ourselves and we just cower away from the fact that, oh my God, the truth. Early in our married life, we had elementary school kids. One of our daughters was having trouble in school. Maybe both of them were having trouble in school, but one more than the other. And we got a message from one of them's teacher that said, "I think your daughter has learning disabilities." Oh, no. Learning disabilities? My child? No. And so we started beginning to go through the process, and we had her tested, and we found out she had learning disabilities, which we spent money over a period of 2 or 3 years of her going every week to help with those learning disabilities, and praise God that they helped. They really did. In fact, she's 30, she's getting ready to be 40. And she still does some of the same things the person taught her dealing with the learning disabilities. But then we found out we got another call. Something's not quite right. And we suggested that we find a counselor for her. And so we go to counseling. Counselor takes her in for 30 or so minutes. Then he brings us in and asks us questions and talk to us. And then we all come together and we talk. And then he says something, your third, fourth grade daughter, she's dealing with depression. She's dealing with depression. Not only does she have learning disabilities, she's depressed. What have I done? What are we doing as parents to push her into depression? I'm failing. I'm broken. I can't tell anybody this stuff. We leave in shock from this, and we go home. And that night, we have a meeting in our house with Christians. How are you doing? Oh, we're fine. Yes, we're fine. We're fine. Everything's wonderful in our house. Your house is so beautiful. Everything's just perfect. And then when everybody leaves, we're holding on to each other, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to go back to counseling every other week or whatever we're supposed to do. And I'm trying to figure out a place where I can park where nobody will think I am at the counselor's office. Small town, long time ago, because I have this image of I want to be somebody. And if you're somebody, your children don't have those kind of problems. And especially if your children have that problem, that's an indication you have problems. Oh, God forbid. So I went to the dentist every other week, because that's where I parked. I wanted to park at the dentist's office across the street from the counselor's office. See, we broke, and we're afraid to admit it. We were in a group of other Christians, and we were afraid to share what we were struggling with. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. And yet, that's who we are. Because we know that we're all broken. We truly do. There is a verse in that song that starts it. It's really interesting. These songs haunt me like they've haunted some of you. But this verse starts, there is a sign on the door says, come as you are, but I doubt it. Because if we live like it was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say the church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner, and the scarred, and the prodigals, like me. Well, the truth be told, the truth is rarely told. And yet we're all broken. But we want to look perfect for everyone who walks in the door. We want to be perfect. And so that somebody who comes in the door broken, they will think that this is not a place for them because none of these people here are broken. 2 weeks ago, I went to a funeral on Thursday and a funeral on Friday. Both of the funerals were for preachers, and both of those preachers had children that were preachers. The first one was for Dr. Bob Gary. His daughter is Susan Gary Landry, who is a district superintendent of the Southwest District here in our conference, and she was my covenant group leader when I was going through the process, and she helped me a lot, was an inspiration and a great encouragement. So I went to her dad's funeral. He was a United Methodist preacher, served about 5 churches, and then went to work at Emory Hospital starting their chaplaincy program. And in the process of starting that program, he also began the CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. It's a place where pastors and chaplains can go work in the hospital and be exposed to the highs and lows of life, the births and the deaths, the tragedies, and then come to grips with your feelings. It's an unbelievable class. He was renowned because the CPE program and the chaplaincy program at Emory was one of the largest in the country. But at his funeral, he had Dr. Laney speak. Dr. Laney was former president of Emory, former dean of the school, Candler School of Theology, and had served in President Clinton's administration as the ambassador to South Korea. And he was speaking. And he spoke from Mark 9, where Jesus and his Peter, James, John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and when they get to the bottom of the hill, there's a trouble going on. There is a father whose son is possessed by a spirit that causes him not to be able to speak. And there are times when that child is cast down on the ground in danger. And Jesus asked the father, "Do you believe? Do you believe that he can be healed?" And he said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And then Dr. Laney began to talk about helping our unbelief. You see, people who walk in the door are needing help with their unbelief, their lack of faith. And what he was saying about Bob Gary was that he was a man who, when you sat down in front of him, ever who you were the most important person in the world. And he would give time to you, looking you face to face and doing something that was required, and that is to be vulnerable, to speak the truth in a situation where there is unbelief. You see, all of us have faced unbelief in our lives. All of us have faced troubles in our own life. And sometimes the truth of that can bring somebody who is dealing with struggles in ways that we had in the past be brought into the present and move that unbelief into belief. We can't handle the truth if we're able to be truthful. People want to know that they're not alone. They want to know that other people have struggled with the things that they're struggling with, and we will get there and get through that together. Vulnerability. Then at Malone Dodson's funeral, his son Steve spoke, and he spoke from Luke 15 about the parable of the prodigal son. He was clear to make the point that he was not saying his brother was the first younger son and he wasn't the older son or vice versa. He wasn't telling the story because of that, but he wanted to make sure they told him. And the story, we know the story. The younger son wants his inheritance, and in that day, for him to get the inheritance, he had to wish that his dad was dead. And so he told his dad, "I want my inheritance. I wish you were dead. Give me what belongs to me, and I'll be out of your way." And so he gets that stuff, all his belongings, all his inheritance, and he goes and wastes that money, wastes those resources, does everything that he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and he wakes up one day, and he's in a pigsty. The worst place for a good Jewish person to ever be was in a pigsty, feeding pigs. And he comes to his senses. And he goes home because he knows that even a servant in his father's house is in a better spot than where he was. And my guess is he's hoping just to be able to be a servant in his father's house. And while he was a long way off, the father saw him, runs to him, and hugs him. And Steve was saying, "My father was always the loving father. It didn't matter where you'd come from, where you'd been, what you had done, you were always welcome." And that's what Jesus requires of us. The problem we have in churches and in my life is sometimes I forget what I used to do and the sins I used to commit and the things that I've been through, and I think I just ended up perfect like this on my own. And I've never caused God to shake his head. But we've all caused God to shake his head. I don't know. But no matter where we are or where we've been, God wants us. There is nothing we have ever done that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So bring your hurts, bring your pain, bring your truth, and God's still going to love you. That applies to us as we come to God, but it also applies as other people come who are looking for somebody to love them. The job that we have as Christians is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread and welcoming them. One day I hope that we will be able to say, yes, we're fine, we are fine. We're not broken, we have been made whole. Because we know the truth. We know the way, the truth, and the life. And we know the truth that has set us free. And we're not afraid of the truth. Because the truth sets us free. Sets us free to lay that hurt, that pain, that sin at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. And to be made whole. That's what God's desire is for us. That's His desire for the world. And that's what His desire is for us as Kingswood Church. How are you doing? Are you fine? There are things that are going on in my life and things that are going on in your life that I bet that you're not fine. And there's a loving God who's waiting for you to leave it. So I want to invite you, as the Lord leads you, if you feel so desired to do it, or feel a tug on your life or heart, chancel is open for any and all, for all of us to leave the truth here of the ways we're broken so that we might feel the embrace of a loving Father, to feel and know that we're not alone. Because that's what God wants us to do. So as Alan plays, if you feel led, please come and speak the truth to Jesus.